Good morning, and I would like to greet you all also in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know we say this, and many a minister has said it over and over again. It is amazing or whatever to us sometimes how that song connected the devotions, the Sunday school, and my message. Boom. It just did. And I didn't even have a Sunday school book to look at this morning until I got here. But anyway, so I just wanted to, I know sometimes you make comments about what we just heard, you know, and it's one thing I thought about a little bit and keep in mind in this thing about Daniel and the separation and the isolation and stuff that we kind of read about. Some of that stuff needs, you know, we don't sit or we don't eat at this person's table, this person's table, this person's table, because we've been affected by that a little bit within our own lives. And, you know, Jesus sat down with a sinner and the prostitutes and had a meal with him. So let's not forget that. You know, let's not put our, well, we won't take of the king's meat. We won't take of this person. We won't take of that. We need to humble ourselves, as it says, under the mighty hand of God and just be who we are in the Word of God. But anyway, so and it's often been mentioned, you know, Hebrews 11:6 about faith. And so my message is also is on faith. But faith in about how do we exercise our faith and how is our faith exercised and how we can get a mental picture a little bit, I think, about the faith that we have. And I'm glad one thing to say that I think sometimes we do lots of things that are an act of faith, and we do it unconsciously, and that is a good thing, because then I think our faith is like, you know, we move forward, we do things, we make decisions, and we trust, you know, we just have been brought up and in the Word of God and knowing all the scriptures and stuff that we know and have applied and put into our hearts. We just trust, we know the promises, God is good, and we know that, trust that He knows exactly what is best for each and every one of us. And so as an exercise of faith in connecting to what we had, you know, that's what Daniel and them did. They put their faith, it wasn't necessarily a test, they were just exercising the faith they had in God. It wasn't like, oh, I think God, I don't know, God might let me down, might not. You know, doubts and fears and unbelief is a destroyer of faith. It takes it away. So we have the perfect example of exercising of someone in the scripture that we read about, not just Daniel, but his three friends and many, many others, of their faith. And, you know, faith is an essence. That's not even a big enough word, I guess, for that we walk by. And how can we apply it? And if we don't apply it, or if we don't think about it, get them in a pinch about it, you know, increase our faith, the apostles said. Is that not what we want also? You want your faith to stay today, right where it's at, for the next 5 years, or the next year? You think about just sitting there. That wouldn't be a good feeling, would it? You actually expect it to grow. You want it to, and you expect it to. You're going to be stronger. You're going to, in God. So the first thing that Hebrews 11:6 says, that says without it, it's impossible to please God. That's the first thing it says, you know. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Exactly what happened to Daniel. What? Look at the reward that he got. Look at the position and the place that he got put to, because he exercised, you know, he proposed in his heart to serve God. We can all do that again right now. You know, I propose in my heart, I want to serve the Lord my God, you know, with all my heart, with all my soul, with everything that we have. And God wants that, and he wants to use that. He wants to that we would grow in it. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. find my verses here, I guess. Romans 1:17 tells us that for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith unto faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. Well, there's so many faith verses. We're definitely not going to get them all by a long ways. But on a day-to-day basis, I guess is a little bit what I was thinking about. But just to read them a couple verses, just turn to chapter 11 of Hebrews. We've read this one time or 100 times. We've heard it 1,000 times probably, but just read the first 6 verses here. And it goes on through all the other people of faith, Abraham and Noah and all them. But so now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That verse itself is amazing, and it's a challenge to us in a sense that we need to have faith and believe that everything we see, you could say, or this world that we're in, was framed by the word of God, and it was made out of things that we don't see, not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. So the after we're gone, after we're long dead, our faith can still speak. It can still have a testimony. It can still be a witness. It was for him. It can still be for us. We know that. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he had pleased God. And then verse 6, but without it, if you don't have any, if it's not there, then it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I think that's important that we plant that within us, in the fact that, remember, God wants you. God wants to reward you. And any of his rewards are definitely not negative. Definitely not negative. They're always positive. He always wants the best for you, to give you the best. And, we are human. We probably struggle with that aspect. I do, Really, God wants the best for us. And so on a day-to-day basis, in order to grow, just like muscles, just like we talked about diet, we talked about exercise, we talked about things that end up we feel better. They must be, we must exercise them. We must do them. So we can look at each day and the problems and stuff, the challenges and things that we may face, as an opportunity to exercise our faith, to let our faith be exercised. Let's consider, reflect a little bit. How do we do this? Sometimes, like I said, I think it is subconsciously or automatically. What kind of a faith picture do we have for our life, for our family, for our job, for our businesses? And what kind of a picture do you have for all that? Do you know what God's will is? And you know what God, as he says, he's a rewarder for them that diligently seek him. He wants it to prosper. He literally does. I don't propose the the get rich message in Christianity or whatever it's called, prosperity message at all. But God does want us to prosper in those areas. We can take any of that out of proportion. You know, 3 John, chapter 1, verse 2. You know, he tells us there that, is that right? It's not the right. Oh, just the third chapter of John, the first couple verses there. Says the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, in whom I love in truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So there's a connection we made this morning already, right? We believe that a free conscience or a healthy conscience and a healthy soul also has a lot to do for prospering in our health, like we saw what happened to Daniel and them. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. And then 4 says, which is a verse, you know, that's very strong. You say, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. There's no greater joy than hearing people that are dedicated and families or individuals, whoever they may be, not even more than just your own children, but that they walk in the truth of God's word. So the amplified version of Hebrews 11, verse 1, reads a little different. Interesting. It reads like this. Now faith is the assurance, which means confirmation or title deed, of things we hope for, being the proof of things that we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, or faith, perceiving as real facts what is not revealed unto the senses. Using that definition of faith, you know, we can come up with a picture, whatever. None of us, I don't think, would want to settle for our life just like it is right now. You want to just stop growing in faith? I think I said that before. Because God wants you to come unto the fullness of Him, and there's no end of God's fullness for our life. So there's never a point of time where we just say, like, oh, I can stop now. I'm full of God. I'm just full as I can be, and that's it. No. He wants us to continue in that fullness. Faith does involve, as we saw, probably one of the first things, and we saw this in the story today, and this again is like, how does this all connect? Because the Word of God is one Word of God. That's how it all connects. The first thing that faith involves is a conviction. A serious conviction. And it involves assurance. You know, and we saw that with what Daniel and his friends do. They were convicted of, you know, what did they say? They told Nebuchadnezzar, you know, even if we perish, we perish, but we will still serve our God. So a faith that we have, I believe, is way more solid than what we give it credit to. And we want it to be that. So it stands up under, you could say, stress and whatever may come at, whatever the enemy throws at us. And it can be in many areas in our life, you know, in many different ways. It will stand there and it will be solid. And even when you go through that trial of whatever it may be, we come out stronger. We come out because that's how God wants us to come out of that. Not that He don't allow tribulations and trials to come, but it is concreting and anchoring our faith in Him more and more. You know, are you convinced beyond a shadow of doubt about something? You know that God will take charge and He will do what is best for you. that he wants to reward you. And faith, the word faith itself, the element or part of the definition or meaning of it, it's not yesterday, it's not today, but it's always the future. Faith always is the future. And the word hope is the same thing. The word hope, you know, the hope we have, is always a points towards not yesterday and not today, but it's tomorrow. It's the future. So, and there's where we trust. We know that God sees that, right? We know that God sees your tomorrow. So, and can we see that? Can we get a mental picture, maybe a little bit, of how does God see our tomorrows? Not our own tomorrows, the things that we may dread, or the work that we have to do, or the challenge that we're faced with. That, how am I going to overcome this tomorrow? You know, may it be whatever it is, the work, what you're working, or bills, financial. It seems like that can be a big thing in many of our lives, and very quickly, in a very quick way. How am I going to overcome this? And so the faith and that conviction that we have in God, all things work together for those that love the Lord. You know, you guys should be telling me all the, just thinking in your mind the promises that God gives us, you know. That's all part of our faith journey, and it prepares us for our tomorrows that we don't know. We put our trust in there because we have assurance that God can handle it. God can take care of this. And faith has that faith of that's out there in the future. It's something we don't see. That's what Hebrews 11 tells us. Faith has an object. Faith has an object of things not seen. Faith is fixing our attention on what we cannot see. You cannot see tomorrow at 11 o'clock like we can see it right now, or 10 to 11. It's helping our mind. It's expanding our expectations. We can have expectations, you could say, beyond the realms of what is right here in front of us today. A walk of faith in that, then, definitely is, it tells us that we should be more spiritually minded than carnal minded. The natural thing to do in many situations is to approach it through a carnal approach. And it's like, I can't make it. I ain't going to do it. I might as well give up. But it never leads to any peace, or as it says, the peace that passes all understanding keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It only adds stress and anxiety and doubts and fears to our situation. Are we subject to that? Yes, let's admit it. It's not wrong to understand that we're subject to those things. because Romans 8 tells us this, 5 and 6 says, for those who live according to the flesh will set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace in God. And he also tells us that we should not lean upon our own understanding, and that we should lean on God and function out of his promises and the word that he gives us every day. I wanted to turn to, again, well-known scripture. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to read from 1 to 8. Let's stand up to read this. This is the longest passage I'll read, I guess, so we need to exercise our ability to stand if we can, and that's okay. So, well-known passages, nothing new here, but let's just see how they connect to faith, I guess. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Isn't that exactly what Daniel did? The example that we had today, just continue to use him as a character of what took place. And it says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and we shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be what? Health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones." We can keep going, but that's enough. Let's sit down. Have you read that before? It says, "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." And that's what happened to Daniel and his friends. They prospered. But the thing we know about Daniel, you could say, and the friends, you know, we said that this was at a very young age. You could say they was probably, I don't know what age they were when they went into captivity. 12 to 14 years old. That's my thoughts, but however it may be. But we know as we go through the book of Daniel, and at the end of Daniel's life, he still had the same conviction. He still served God. You know, he kept growing. His faith kept growing, without a doubt. So. This trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto your own understanding. We can see that example. How do we put that in practice for ourselves? In all thy ways, we acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. Again, a very promise there that God knows our 11 o'clock tomorrows or whatever it may be. It's always our faith is always in the future. He also tells us in verse 9 to honor us, that we honor the Lord with our substance, with the first fruits of our increases. And he tells us the things that take place there. That's also, that could be used as a prosperity gospel. If it's all about just giving money, giving money, giving money so that the Lord will bless you. That's not the gospel. he also tells us in verse 3 to, this king was merciful to them. This leader, this eunuch that was in charge, he was merciful to Daniel. He gave them, they had set a test there before him, but he was mercy. It says, "To not let mercy and truth forsake us. Bind them about our heart, our necks. Write them on the table of thine hearts," that we would understand that. It also tells us that forget not God's word. Keep them in our hearts. Keep them as our commandments. And our length of days and our peace will follow with that. So as our faith is exercised, I think our peace and joy in our everyday life also becomes more grounded and rooted. So God wants us to move forward in our realms of faith rather than unbelief. Our belief system has to be firmly established of like what we just read, to trust in the Lord, in what we believe God wants for our lives. Can we see our life as God sees it? And that's where we go back to that verse that he wants the best for you. And we have a tendency to do this. I wrote, sometimes you could say, we have a tendency, we want to look in other people's lives, and we think about what they should be, what they ought to be doing, or more so. But I think we really need to, you know, let's look in the mirror, not what we think other lives should look like, but have a reflection of what do you think your life should look like? Or what does God see in your life? What is he looking at? It's so easy and it's so quick for us to receive the negative things. For some reason, you know, things that are negative or unwanting in our lives, doubt and unbelief, they're the enemy, and we live in his world, so to speak. He is the prince of the power of the air, and he surrounds us with that. You know, so like, what would happen if faith was as strongly if faith was as strongly entrenched sometimes enough, it needs to be, versus doubt or unbelief, what would the results look like? How would that come out? You know, how do you remain this person of faith when everything around us is everything around us we see is so negative and so, a world of uncertainties. You know, today the political world that's out there, who do you trust? Who do you, you know, what's positive about any of that? We're fed with all that negative thing from both sides of the coin, you know, or both sides of both parties or whatever. Instead of feeding anything positive into each other, all they're doing is feeding negativity in about each other, and the people sit here and try to judge between the two, I guess. We live in that negative world. Are we going to let them influence us? Are we being influenced by them? That's a big question, but Jesus does tell us too that we are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And we live in society. And he wants us to do what? To influence and be a positive, you know, in a meaningful way unto those that we are around. We are the salt and the light in our society to influence their lives in a positive and meaningful way. Again, for faith to grow, it needs to be exercised. When you were young, when you were starting out, you look at Isaac and Adriana and Hadassah and Wesley, they don't do anything, but they just continue to grow, don't they? They're just growing. You know, they're soon going to be 18, 19, or whatever, 20, whatever they kind of when our bodies stop. But the rest of us here, our bodies have not continued to grow, but they continue to go the other way, don't they? They continue to deteriorate from this point on, the way it seems. The older you get, the more you deteriorate. So for us, you know, we need to do what we was sharing this morning also again. Eat right, exercise right, and, strengthen our bodies. Places where, you know, where it's weak, where they're breaking down. But we also must lift each other up in our faith walk, you know. We need to encourage each other. You know, I see if you guys, someone else or whatever, exercising their faith or stepping out or doing something or, you know, whatever. We need to acknowledge that. We need to be strengthened in those areas. And that can be done in, like, one big place, like I say, you know, it can be done in the workplace. It can be done in our relationships. It can be done in finances. Whatever, any of those areas, like, that we're struggling, we start to exercise ourselves in the big picture of what God sees for us. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to do well. He wants us to what's best for us. So as we meditate, as we pray, as we communicate with God, speak your heart to Him. You know, ask Him what He has in store for you. Acknowledge Him in all our ways, and I think we can see Him. I think we can reflect back yesterday and see something that God did for us, if we really, really want to. We can see that He did something for us. This was God. So as we go, you know, back to the Proverbs thing, to trust Him, to acknowledge Him, to lean not into our own understanding, to let Him direct our path. And then He tells us that, if you want to turn to 2 Corinthians 4:13 about acknowledging each other in our faith, when we see God doing something good in the lives of others, even though as corrupt and challenging as the Corinthian church was there, couple verses here that speak on that, I guess. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul was writing to them there. He just tells us, the first verse says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. He's continuing to press on for them because God has been merciful to them. And in verse 7, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of himself. That we acknowledge that, you know, even the faith that we have and the exercising of that and what God does for us, it's not because we have the muscle and the mass and the strength to do it of our own, you know, out of our own will, but to acknowledge Him in all his ways, as He tells us. He also tells us in verse 10 that they bear about the body of the dying Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And then verse 13, I guess, is the one I want to get to. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. So we also believe, and therefore we speak, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. You know, as Paul has spoken, and as he believed, they also did. So we should confess, you know, to one another these things. Philemon says in 1:6 says that the sharing of your faith may become effective. The sharing of our faith together will become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. To acknowledge that the Lord is doing good things for us within us. Romans 10:8 says, but what does it say? He says that the word is near you. It's even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So what is it that we desire to see God doing in the lives of each other on a daily basis? We can confess those things to each other and share those moments of faith that God did for us. And what does it do? It increases everyone's faith. When we see that an act of God, because you trusted, you believed, and you had faith in it, it comes to pass. And when you share that with someone else, it can only do one thing, increase it. It increases your faith. Because it says in Romans 10:17, think of this verse, and you've heard it often. So faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Negative stuff that's put in the world? No. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. So when you share with one another, that helps increase our faith. Joshua 1 verse 8 says, they told him, the book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. That's, again, the amplified version of that. But that's basically what God told him, that the word of God should not depart from him, from his mouth. He should meditate on it day and night, and that God wants to make him prosperous and wants to him for him to be successful. Obviously, we know the story. They won the Battle of Jericho. They won lots of things because God had told them that that's how it would be. They trusted and put faith in that. You march around a building 7 times, and then when you blow the trumpet, we're gonna be able to just walk in and take over them. I don't think our faith's ever been tested that big at all. You know, and that's just an example. Everything we have in all these people, Paul, Joshua, Daniel, that we read about. Remember, the Bible is about people like you and me. That's the other thing we need to remember. Who went through the same kind of conflicts and struggles and whatever that we would go through. It's the Word of God that we have that was written here that helps establish our belief and our faith. So we can stand on that. And then when we see it in each other's lives, we also know it's a confirmation of God's faith. And it strengthens us, and we stand on it. So we have this, and James, there was a couple verses quoted from James today, a little bit about faith, I guess. In James 2, 14 to 26, just tells us if someone has faith but doesn't have works, can faith save him? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith without works is dead. We've heard that over and over again. Do we see that faith working together? Do you see that faith working together with his faith, with his works? And by works, faith is made perfect then. That's what it said about Abraham. You know, it was made perfect when he was challenged to go and offer up Isaac to leave, to move forward, and he obeyed. He did it. It got put into action. There was a little story here that I had found, and I don't know if this one has been related before or not, but there was a man that was working to transport tourists across the lake. On occasion, he would try to present the gospel to his passengers and its implications for life in a most unusual way. He painted the word faith on one of the oars of his rowboat and works on the other one. And when they got quite a distance away from shore, he would stop the boat and then he'd begin rowing with the one oar marked faith. And he would cause that boat to go in circles to the left. Then he would reverse the process and he would pull on the other one marked works, and they would circle in the opposite direction. By this time, his passengers was being bewildered and were asking for an explanation. And this afforded him an opportunity to give them the truth concerning discipleship and the Christian life. He always concluded by saying this: you see that neither faith nor works can stand alone. They are twins that cannot be separated. James 2:20. So, if we want to see changes in our or to apply the principles of faith that we have from the Word of God into our lives, we must put them in action. We must, it was also, a little bit, you could say, how did Daniel, as a very young person, being caught and taken into captivity, separated from his parents, you could say, separated from his family and his upbringing, obviously there was some training that had taken place there, and it stuck with him. There was some things implanted within that young person to trust in the Lord, to who God was. So if we want to have these things, if we can apply these principles as being in our work or in bringing up our children or however it may be, in our finances, if uh, You want to see these things turned around? You want to see these things changed? If there's a challenge, you know, that we are being challenged with, then we have to start applying the principles of those. And, you know, you can't just let, I'm not talking about, you know, whatever. So you, if you want a child to be trained, then you need to apply the principles. If you want a challenge to change in your financial strategies and things that are taking place, your integrity and your savings and your whatever it may be, you need to take action, I guess, because it all works together if we expect anything to change. So it takes a heart, though, of anticipation and expectation if you want to, for your faith to be fully released, I guess. It takes a heart of anticipation and expectation for faith to be fully released. Matthew 11:24 says, "Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray and believe, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." If you want to see a relationship change, begin expecting it and doing something about it. The ability to discipline your children, expect it to change and do something about, you know, and work towards it. The same thing in many other areas of our life, whatever it may be. I have a closing statement here a little bit, and I'll be open for testimony and sharing. And if you have a faith moving thing that happened to you recently, that you feel that that it was like no question, but it was your commitment to God and what He wants to do for you, for your best, then share it. It can do nothing but strengthen everyone else's. So here's just a little thing, you know. Faith is like a muscle, you know, it needs to be exercised. But life should be lived like this. Yesterday is a canceled check. We cannot negotiate again. Tomorrow we have a promissory note. It cannot be utilized until it gets here, until it arrives. Today, this was using the financial thing. Today, what you have is cash on hand. That's all you have. And it must be invested. It must be put to use. The psalmist expresses it this way. "This is the day that which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Faith is like a muscle. It must be exercised. Faith is like a sunrise. It's fresh every morning. You don't have old faith. That was the other thought that came to me. It's not like you can have an old part of faith. What happened yesterday, there's no faith back there at all, because it does not show, you know, it's not part of the future, it's past. I'm open for testimony or sharing or prayer requests.